Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. It's time for the Beatbox Battle!
What?
What?
Beatbox Battle. Y'all ready? Haley. Yeah!
Little 808 there.
Oh, what?
A little 808.
I'm sorry. If I beatbox, it's just going to sound like I have gas.
Nimbus in the hole. Come on.
I gave you my best right there.
That is incredible.
I win.
Do people still beatbox?
Oh, dude, are you kidding me?
You are so old.
Gosh, I am.
Now they do dub beatbox.
Dubstep.
Yeah.
Nick Smith is really good at dubstep.
He is pretty good at that. We ought to have him in here and have a real beatbox. That's how you beatbox, out of your mouth.
But dubstep, I thought that was just like an app on your phone.
it is that. But it's
he makes those noises out of his mouth.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's very inspiring. Sometimes we'll be songwriting, Nick and I, and he'll just drop a beat. And it's very inspiring and creative juices begin to flow.
You know, I wonder what happens in people's brains while they do that.
You know what my favorite part is when Nick does the dubstep sounds? He throws little cat noises in there.
Yeah. He's like.
I can do cat noises.
Yeah.
Meow.
But you got to drop a beat with it.
Oh. Meow. I don't think it's working for me.
I think your cat is sick.
Yeah, my cat has gas.
So we do this from time to time. We get together and we write with songwriter friends of ours. And just yesterday we had a workshop with Stephen Duncan, had him on the program a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about revolutionary writers. This really inspired us to kind of steward that a little better.
Yeah, well, we've been headed this direction for a couple of years. We've been on and off trying to curate a little community of songwriters, tasking them with a new mindset, a responsibility of chronicling what God is saying to the earth right now. We're going to springboard off this workshop that we just had with Stephen Duncan, which is incredible. And we're going to just curate this a little more, steward a little more. We're going to do once a month songwrites at Identity Studios right across the way here from the Next Gen Worship Broadcast Studio. We've got lots of studios going on here.
Dude, we got a whole warehouse full of studios, like a whole pallet.
But we're going to be more intentional with it, of course. This summer, we're really kicking off Identity Studios opening up to the public, and Identity Music began its first project with Nick Ashley Smith. So lots of creativity happening. Super excited.
So just to clarify, this is the NGWB studio. And the Identity Studio, also kindly regarded as the Stujo. Hey, yes, is it? Because it's where all the ninja skills happen.
Yeah, the musical ninja skills.
So check out the Facebook page for upcoming songwrites. It will probably be under Next Gen Worship.
Yeah, we'll put on Next Gen Worship.
Well, today we are diving into some really cool stuff. One of the things really close to our heart is eliminating competition and stewarding collaboration. And that is what we're about. Jesus was about collaboration and just bringing in like hearts and really going for the very best that we can do together.
Yeah, building family.
Something Holy Spirit showed me last week, that waking moment right before you wake up.
Yeah.
And I just felt Holy Spirit telling me, with competition, you will change things over a millennia. With collaboration, you'll change things overnight.
Oh, snap.
And so, you know, competition inches forward. We get better and better a little bit by outdoing one another. But if we can collaborate and come up with the best thing, then we can change things overnight.
I can't wait faster. To talk about that.
So there's a lot of acceleration in that. And we'll be sitting down a little later in the show with Phil Rice from Ember HQ. Looking forward to talking to him. So stick around.
Loving others doesn't mean that you practice tolerating them. It means that you are an active participator in fighting for justice in their lives. It means that you're now a fighter for their dreams, their greatness, and the treasures inside of them to be fully displayed. Are you offended when people do well? Are you shipwrecked when others become great? You were created to display His brilliance, and that always includes helping others to shine brighter than yourself. Surround yourself with people greater than you, people that do exploits, and people who know how to shine. Not for the sake of climbing a ladder, but so that you can become great at championing others also. After all, that's what the great ones do.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week we're talking, I'm so excited about this, world-changing worship, and we're sitting down with Robbie Busick. He's the album production manager for Bethel Music.
Yeah.
And we're really excited about talking about this. Something really close to our hearts.
Yeah, I connected with him when we were down at a Seth Mosley event in Franklin, Tennessee, and dang, he is an incredible worship leader and a really gifted guy. It was so fun to talk to him.
Today we are talking about collaboration, keys to collaboration. This is practical things that we can put into place to actually steward community and bring people together and champion one another, something that we've been doing for a long time now, and we really just want it to catch fire. We want it to catch fire across the globe and us all come together. And this isn't just speaking about the church necessarily, although, you know, the church moving forward is really going to infect culture. But we really want to see that infection take place in our culture. We want to see it take place in every aspect of culture where collaboration in community becomes priority.
Yeah. Well, I want this show to be really practical because not everybody, when you say collaboration, really understands what we mean. But first of all, let's define why is this so important and why is it so necessary? You mentioned the church. Let's start there. Number one, we are a body. And if we have a mindset of individuality and we accomplish our own little projects separately from each other, we are really defeating the purpose of being a body. We say this all the time, but in our city, God has blueprints for a city, and He's not going to give them to one guy. He's not going to give them to one leader. He's not going to give it to one church. He's going to give it to the church. So while we're building our churches, building what God has tasked us with and following through with our assignments, there's also a next level. And that is, what does God say about my city? And the dreams of God's heart can only be accomplished through collaboration. So let's kick off this with some practical ideas. What does it mean to collaborate?
Well, I think first of all, you have to just determine in your heart that you will collaborate. Like, I'm sitting here thinking that collaborating with people is so powerful and can change our lives, our cities, our communities so quickly and so amazingly that competition is like the opposite evil thing that tries to, it's like a deception that comes in to keep collaboration from happening because it's so amazing.
It really is. You hear the word healthy competition, like competitive sports and things like this. Really, the focus should not be the competition. I don't think there's anything wrong with sports, but I think the thing that needs to be focused on, the priority, that practical implementation of what does that build in our children whenever we put them into sports, it builds teamwork.
Yeah.
It teaches them how to collaborate with their team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we as a community, if we focus on collaboration, we will really go leaps and bounds above anything the competition will ever breed.
Yeah. You mentioned this in the intro part of the show about collaboration, and it's so powerful. Just take a little time to go over that again.
Well, the waking moments, whenever you're in between dream and consciousness, a lot of the times I'll wake up and have something that just happened to me. And I felt Holy Spirit tell me, with competition, we will change things over a millennia. But with collaboration, we'll change things overnight. And that's huge because competition just outdoes the other guy. And so you're inching forward with change. It's what I call polishing the status quo. And it never becomes excellent because you're just making the status quo a little bit better and a little bit better.
Yeah.
But whenever we come together and we collaborate and we put all the ideas on the table and we play catch, as you and I say, Clint, mm-hmm. and we just start to steward and cultivate the idea until it's like, oh, the thing. It is the best it can possibly be. Implement that baby. And it changes things much faster.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times when we get an idea, the first thing that comes to mind is, especially when the enemy is involved, first thing you feel is fear. I have to protect this idea.
Right.
And that is a huge misstep. We see a lot of fierceness around protecting things between churches sometimes and leaders. And so the key number one to collaboration is, I have just received an idea from Holy Spirit. Now, in order for that idea to become everything that heaven has intended it to be, I have to now put that idea on the table and collaborate with some like hearts. Maybe it's one other person. Maybe it's a round table. Proverbs, man, we have so many little juicy tidbits talking about wisdom is found in the counsel of many and things like that. But when we take this idea, this download from heaven, we put it on the table, there's a resonation with other people's hearts, and then we all work together on that idea to develop it into what heaven has always intended it to be. A great example is even our tagline for Next Gen Worship, Carry Heaven, Shift Culture. Mm-hmm. It took us like a year and a half of playing catch, of putting that on the table, of boiling down what is the essence, the very foundation at the heart level of what we're trying to do.
Right.
And it took a long time to boil that down, to make it simple, to make it profound, impactful. And that is the power of collaboration. It's perspective. It's having other people's perspective. And this is really hard for red personality types. You know, they can do it all themselves. And frankly, they'd be happier doing it themselves.
Right.
But honestly, if we're going to be leaders in the body of Christ, we have got to learn to collaborate. It works at every level. And it's incredibly empowering to those you're in collaboration with.
To do that, you have to be brave. Like what you're talking about is that you have gotten something, but then you remove your sole ownership of it from the picture.
Yeah. You have to eliminate ego completely. Mm-hmm. You have to just completely eliminate ego. And if you come up with an idea, if heaven gives you an idea and you put it out there and somebody else grabs it and runs with it, you have to champion that thing. You have to say, oh man, they're doing it really well, and jump on board and support it and push it. You know, I think this has to be said. Leadership is necessary in movement, in momentum. There has to be leadership. There has to be those that steward ideas and really inspire people to move forward. But something that I think we're beginning to understand on a deeper level is leadership must be seen from a perspective of a father or a mother. Mm-hmm. It has to be a family oriented. I'm stewarding a group of people, not as their leader so they will follow me, but as their father, as I want the very best for them. I love them with everything that I have, and I want them to succeed and be better than me. I want the next generation to be better than me. I want them to soar higher than I've ever thought of soaring, to be better than I've ever thought of being, and to not get stuck, you know, to not get sidetracked, but that they have longevity because they have a clear perspective and they have a clear target in mind. And so,
yeah, well, this is great because we talk about this sometimes about changing the options when we walk in the room. But honestly, everything that we do here in our generation is changing the options for the generations coming after us.
Yep.
And how much more dramatic would those options be if we collaborated as one, you know, as one entity? When you're talking, Josh, I just felt the difference all of a sudden between a heart for kingdom and a heart for building my own personal kingdom. And that's what that is. And when you have a heart to advance kingdom and to advance people beyond you, you don't have a problem putting an idea on the table that is sent from heaven and seeing it become all it can be, even if somebody else is called to take that idea and run with it. And that's the heart of a father. That's a kingdom heart. And that's the heart of our father.
That's amazing. The father and motherhood aspect of it automatically changes what we're doing from something that is momentary or for now and turns it into something that is generational.
Well, the key to implementing this collaborative type heart, this mindset, is to get in community. This is a huge mind shift, heart shift. Grab some people that have like hearts And we say this often, start taking some risks together. And part of that risk is whatever you're good at. Like songwriting is a great example. Get together, collaborate with them, loosen up the control factor a little bit your creativity and start collaborating with people, because it will always be far more impactful than what you could do on your own.
And I think it's important, in order to implement this, we have got to cross lines. We have got to cross those comfortable lines. We've got to cross church wall lines. We've got to cross denominational lines. And we got to reach out and deliberately go after relationship with other people in our community that we don't have relationship with, especially the church. I mean, we can't have our own little church things going on and let it totally absorb all of our time and energy and focus. We have got to make it a point to submerge ourselves into other community things that are happening here in our area.
Yeah, it's good and it's healthy.
So we will be talking a little bit about how they're doing that in the Oklahoma City area with Phil Rice. He's from Ember HQ, and we'll be talking to him when we come back.
So I've been using pads in worship for like 4 or 5 years. And I remember when they first came out, very popular, like it's a new thing. There was only like one pad set available. So I downloaded them and it's like, wow, this is great. And just by default, I just use those forever. You know, it's like, you know, people come out with different pads and like, hey, this is great. Well, I've already got some. Why do I need new ones? Until we heard about Core Sound pads. And then I checked them out and found out they had all these different varieties. And so I tried them out at the last 24-hour worship gathering that we had in our city. And I was actually going through and finding the actual set of pads that sounded best with the type of music I was doing, the songs I was doing. And that was so awesome, because it wasn't, you know, me making do with an ambient pad set in the background that may or may not quite match. And every now and then it sounds like it's off, you know. But when we used the Core Sound pads, man, I was able to kind of tailor the sound I wanted for the set I was doing, which was way beyond anything that I was used to before.
Go to coresoundpads.com. That's C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your bundle today.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. We're going to be doing that, talking about world-changing worship next week with Bethel's album production manager, Robbie Busick. So good to be able to sit down and talk with him about how Bethel's producing world-changing worship and what we can learn from that. Today we've been talking about keys to collaboration and how collaboration outweighs competition every day of the week. And we're excited to be sitting down today with Ember HQ's Phil Rice.
All right, Phil, thanks for jumping on the show with us today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us about Ember and tell us about what you guys are doing with Ember HQ.
Totally. So Ember really started as a prayer room in a prayer ministry, and we now have kind of coined the phrase, it's a prayer and creative company. And basically what that means is we have the prayer room piece and everything that functions around the prayer room, which would be the weekly prayer set, different worship events that we have, you know, in the midst of our city and region. We have some prayer retreat options. And really the focus there is to really go deep in the place of intimacy with Jesus and deep in the place of the Word of God, and really cultivating an atmosphere of hope and faith. But we found that while that was really good, as the prayer room evolved, we really have this desire to express those things outside of the walls of the prayer room. And so the creative company really came in as we said, okay, what does it look like to take this hope and take this faith and actually communicate it in such a way that's impactful and helpful for people? And so we've really done that through creativity, whether it's blogging or podcasting or music production or video production, kind of storytelling style. The goal is really to take the hope of Jesus, the hope of the gospel, through that place of prayer and out into the world through social media and those different avenues. So it's kind of a little snapshot.
Yeah. How long has Ember been going and how did it get started?
Yeah. So Ember, officially, we started as kind of an organization January of 2016. And before that, we were a prayer room inside of a local church here in Northern Oklahoma. It had been around for about 12 years. And so really it started as a prayer room, and the idea was a prayer room for the city. In 2016, we stood on our own 2 feet and and really launched out as our organization.
So take us on a heart level kind of experience as far as what you guys are doing. I know you're big into investing in people. Yeah. You're big in the prophetic. You like to create expectancy. I mean, kind of give us the heart culture of what you guys are after.
Ember is attractive to a couple different groups of people. The first group of people is the group that says, oh my gosh, there's a prayer room in my region. I totally want to go and I want to be a part of that. For that person, my heart is that they would have a place to really work out their calling as an intercessor, as a prophetic individual, as a creative, as an artist, and have that consistent place to cultivate their ministry before the Lord among people who also have that same kind of a calling. And then I would say the people who are more intrigued by what Ember is doing, I feel like who look at what Ember is doing and really have an appreciation for it, I think those are the folks who might, you know, it's like, man, I really need some time to connect with the Lord. I really just need a place set apart in this particular season, or maybe this time every month or something like that. And so they might not be investing in a daily or a weekly way, but they really feel a value for that set apart space, getting along with the Lord and kind of dedicating some specific space to the Lord. And so my heart for both of those groups is that to whatever degree we would be able to offer them a space to work out their ministry before the Lord. And then really as a result of that, in the midst of them working that out, they're actually partnering with Jesus on behalf of this region to intercede for different areas that we're contending for, that the presence of God would be in our midst and that he would bring change and he would receive glory. So I'd say that's really the heartbeat behind it. You know, before you even move into the creative piece, and then the different avenues that that takes, it really is the heartbeat of prayer and intercession for a region that has to come first.
Yeah.
And that has to be the substance. Because really, when I think through it and when our team thought through it, it's like, yeah, you know, the different ways in which we communicate hope and truth and life, those things can change. But really, the non-negotiable is the consistency in place of prayer.
Yeah, that's really good. Why don't you take us on a little journey as far as what you guys are dreaming about? And I love what you're saying there as far as affecting your city and your region. Take us on a little journey and talk about what you guys are dreaming about as far as the influence of your city, what you think is possible through what you guys are doing.
When I'm dreaming and when we're scheming as a team, just thinking about what Ember looks like moving forward and how we're kind of like where our niche is and where our spot is, as it pertains to our role in the body of Christ and in the role of our city. The thing that really excites me is that Ember is a prayer room, but it does attract the folks who feel a level of passion and zeal for the place of prayer, whether that's musically or in intercession. And so it really excites me that that's the group that we're attracting. But along with that, there's something that I've noticed as we continue to build and continue to communicate who we are. We actually draw this other kind of person. So it's not necessarily I was born as an intercessor and I will die as an intercessor, but we've attracted kind of the creative entrepreneur who, you know, definitely has the value for prayer, but they feel their call is much more. So it's a guy who participates in the prayer room and says, oh my gosh, so you're saying I could come on staff, I could do this locationally, I just spent time in the prayer room, and I could actually use my gifting for video production, for podcasting, and my technical savvy to actually perpetuate what's happening here. And so, like, for example, we have a guy who came on as our media director, and he loves worship. He leads worship for one or two of our sets, and he's in the prayer room pretty often. But his main heart is actually storytelling. And so he sees Ember as an opportunity to not only come on in the place of ministry and vocational ministry, but to really build a media brand around storytelling and cultivating the, really like communicating the gospel through video. You know, and so for him, it's a pretty fantastic platform because the way that we're financed is each individual who comes on staff raises their own support for the organization itself. So like our media director, you know, he comes on and he actually raises support for for this ministry endeavor. But the thing that's really neat is that while he's doing that, he's simultaneously building up even his own personal brand as a video production guy. So he's able to build the storytelling alongside of that. So the pressure isn't all there to say, okay, you have to be like 100% fully funded through individual donation. You can actually go out and build business alongside of what you do. That makes me very excited, because then a musician that comes or another creative that comes actually sees the picture for an opportunity to not only be in the prayer room, but also kind of work through, okay, what is the content that I as an individual have to generate for the kingdom? And is there a way to monetize that to where this can actually be part of my financial engine and perpetuate not only my ministry, but also God receiving glory through the substance that, again, is cultivated in prayer. Like I said, that's a piece that I'm really excited about. It feels like people are really getting it, and it doesn't feel so far-fetched. And people can actually look at some of the staff members here and say, wow, okay, like this thing that you're telling me is possible, and it's not just this kind of fantastic dream that I could leave my current vocation, jump on with Ember, and spend hours in the prayer room alongside of building business through media and art and things like that. So yeah, that's a little bit of what I'm thinking about right now and sort of where we're going.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. Help us get people connected to you guys. So give us some information like website, social media, even maybe prayer room address.
Totally. Probably one of the easiest ways would be through our website, emberhq.com. We're located in Norman, Oklahoma. Our address is 318 East Gray Street in Norman. Probably be the easiest way to get a hold of us. And you can find all our social media through our website. And I just released something called Simple Session, and that is a blog and membership style music release that's at philwright.blog/music. Yeah, I think that would get someone to it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Phil, I really appreciate you spending time with us today. Love what you guys are doing. Love your heart. And we just say more, more, more.
Amen. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for having me.
So good to have Phil in the program with us today. Keys to collaboration. Get in community. Collaborate with one another. And let's change the world overnight. We'll be doing that with worship next week with Bethel's album production manager, Robbie Busick. It's a show you definitely don't want to miss.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.